thoughts that they are advancing. One of them may be not so familiar, again, works of one of the most popular Rishonim on Musar is Rabbeinu Tam. It's a Sefer HaYosha Rabbeinu Tam. Now, the truth is, it's not 100%. When I'm saying 100%, it's almost not 100% that Rabbeinu Tam is the Mechaber of the Sefer HaYosha. But in the world of scholarship, in terms of the Messiah, so to speak, it's Miyuchis to Rabbeinu Tam. The Sefer HaYosha is the Sefer that is Miyuchis to Rabbeinu Tam, and it's the Sefer on Musar. Imagine Rabbeinu Tam, the great Rabbeinu Tam, from the greatest Baal Tosfos. There's a Sefer Musar, which is called the Sefer HaYosha of Rabbeinu Tam. And in the Sefer HaYosha, in Shaar Revi, of the Sefer HaYosha, Rabbeinu Tam basically gives us various etzes of how a Yid should be able to reinforce his Avodas Hashem and his Yir Shemayim. So among many other things, Rabbeinu Tam writes as follows. He writes, L'histakel tomid, he says, b'chiburei ha-tzadikim. It's important you don't have it there. He says, L'histakel tomid, he says, b'chiburei ha-tzadikim. People should basically be learning the Sfarim of the tzadikim. Kegoin. Who does he use an example? Rabbeinu Tam, who's using an example? He says, Chibur ha-chosid Rabbeinu b'chaye, Ibn Pekudeh, which of course is the Sefer Chovos Halvavos that we are learning. So we have a first-hand recommendation, again going back to one of the great Rishonim, of course, Rabbeinu Tam, that people should be Kaveya Iseder in the Sefer of Chovos Halvavos. Interesting maybe to point out that there's a Sefer called Divrei Yisroel. The Sefer called Divrei Yisroel, I should mention, is a Sefer from the Majid Sarebbe, the Sefer Rabbi Yisroel of Majid, who basically was Nifter in 1921. The Majid Sarebbe, I just want to mention to you, of course, in addition to being a Godel B'Toy Rabbi Yira, was also noted for his Koyach HaNeginah. When you talk about Majid HaNeginah, it starts way back. And this is Rabbi Yisroel of Majid, the Mechaber of the Sefer Divrei Yisroel, a wonderful Sefer, it's the Sefer Al HaTorah. Beautiful Perushim and all B'derech Musar, Divrei Hisayris, what one can take out of the Parsha, Sefer Divrei Yisroel. It's really a classical Sefer from Majid Sarebbe. And as I mentioned, that he utilized that Koyach HaNeginah that he had, he utilized it to be Ma'ore people and to bring them to Dveikus Bashem. And he used to say many, many times, he said that many things that studying Sifrei Musar, which might not accomplish, a Nigin could accomplish. That which you may not gain from learning a Sefer of Musar may not be matzliach, really it should hit you or should elevate you to the point that you may hope to. But he says, where Sefer Musar may not be successful, but he says, a good nigin, a hartige nigin, a barame nigin, a hisayrige nigin, he's able to do it, he points out. And he said, one of the very interesting mishalim, I'm using this as a gdoma to what I want to mention, Rabbi Yisroel used to say that there was a villager whose business was running a mill. So you have the grinding mill and the noise and the sounds of the mill on a daily basis. So he comes into the city to buy a watch. So he goes to a watchmaker. And the Majid Rebbe pointed out, and he says that the reason I want to buy a watch is, it particularly says, because I need an alarm clock. He said, I need an alarm clock, he says, to wake me up. So the watchman says, you need an alarm clock? He says, you have so much noise, he says, where you live, he says, the mill's grinding out, you shouldn't even be able to sleep, he says. If that doesn't wake you up, he says, that little noise sound coming out, the ringing of the alarm clock, is that going to wake you up? And the person answered, the villager answered, he says, the great noise, yes, the stronger noise of the mills, he says, did not wake me up. Because why? Because I hear it 24 hours a day. And once you hear it 24 hours a day, plus you get used to it, to him already doesn't sound like anything. Nothing. It becomes a natural thing. But to bring something which is somewhat different, he says, to bring an alarm clock, which is a totally different sound, which is not the usual regils, what we're used to, he said, that is going to be able to wake me up. So the Rebbe pointed out that he said, that's the same thing, that people always talk about learning Musa and so on and so forth, but a person sometimes, nishta eserzi, but it's something that becomes like a dovarogel, the thing to do. If you're going to a different direction sometimes, utilizing a niggin, a different, a siren away, he said, that's something you may do it. Agopon, I just want to mention that, just his tremendous debates that he had regarding a nigun, which one of the many, many nigunim they made, is the famous nigun which is called Ezkero. There's a nigun which is called Ezkero, which is which he was mechaber because when he got sick in 1910 and he went to Berlin to be able to take a certain operation that he needed in Berlin, as he was walking the streets, you can imagine the hadrosponim that the Rebbe had. A German came up, the goyim, he said to him, he says, Jew, he said, you belong to Yerushalayim. What are you walking through the streets of Berlin? This is what he told him. So he pushed it, it chapped him, he said. It pulled the strings of his heart when he heard what this person said. So he reminded himself, you mentioned Yerushalayim, he reminds him, Eskro lekim vehemoyo, v'yereisi kol ir, Altila benuya, when you see all the other cities, Berlin and so on, v'yere lekim ishupeles, at she'oil tachtio. That reminded him. The goy reminded him about Yerushalayim and look what's going on over here. So he was makabra that thing Eskrov. Yerushalayim has very many, many, many stanzas. But the point is that to complete that thing, it took him like 4 years because he always kept adding. The point is you have to be a genius in music just to know the whole thing. It's completely a very, very long thing with all the different levels of nagina that it has. But just to tell you something that's ultimately... When he needed another operation, he told the surgeon, he says, no anesthesia, he says. He started to sing that niggun, and with that niggun, he literally went through the operation without any anesthesia, did not feel anything. It was transmitted in a different world. It is said that the surgeon was so mesmerized, when he heard the singing of the Rebbe, he said, that if you don't stop singing, I'll stop the surgery. He just couldn't concentrate on the surgery because that niggun mom lifted him up too, as well. So I just want to simply say that B'shasas Patira, Mamish B'shasas Patira, he said to those around him that I'd like now, he says, for the last time, to sing and chazar over all the niggunim that I was mechaber. And this is what they did. B'shasas Patira said, they went over. Many niggunim went over one after the other. When he came to the last song, he closed his eyes and was Yotze Mishmosa B'tahara. It's a fascinating, very, very fascinating thing. So I just want to mention, so the Moshe Rabbeinu, the Sefer Divrei Yisrael, he brings in Parshas Lech Lecha. He brings that Hatane Hu Eloiki HaRebbe Rebbeir Memezrich. He talks about the success of the Baal Shem Tov, the Rebbe Rebbeir. He writes, Hatane Eloiki HaRebbe Rebbeir Memezrich Omar Shloi Lilmoid B'Sifrei Mechkar. What I'm trying to point out is like this. The Chayrus Alvavus, we made in Agdom a few weeks ago when we started, all the various shiurim, the various gates that the Chayrus Alvavus is divided. The first one we have, Shar HaYichud, which is the Shar of Unity, which there basically goes into the philosophy, in order that a person should not just blindly have faith in a Boir Olam, but also to recognize it Al Pi Hiseichel. And that's the Shar HaYichud, where he goes through trying to explain Al Pi Hiseichel to prove that there is a Boir Olam. So the Divrei Yisrael, the Moshe Rabbeinu brings down B'shem, the Magid, the Rebbe Rebbeir of Mezrich, that he said, this is not for us. Chakir is not for us. Chayvus Avodas, great man what he was, the Goyim, the Doyle Rishonim, for him there was a room for Chakir not to slip. The Rebbe Rebbeir said the following. He said, Shloi Lilmoid B'sifrei Mechkar, Na'afilam HaChoykrim HaGdoshim, even from the holy Choykrim, who are Elikim, the godly ones, Kegoyin Shar HaYichud. Rabbi Ber said, I don't advise it. Why? He said, Shariqa said, Bechoy v'salvodis, Umi shechoshka nafshil chakiris, and someone who bechlal has an affinity, he has a drive, he wants to be chayker, yeda v'biru shesh v'shemetz apikursis. Very interesting. This is a take that the Divrei Yisrael brings down from the Magid of Mizrish. So it's very interesting. So not everything is really for everyone. A certain Baal Madrega can handle it, and others really... And that's why the Derech Klal people usually skip Shara Yichud. That's generally whoever learns Chayvus Avodas, well, you don't really. It's not considered to be part of the regular Seder. But the Kapon, someone at least should understand, what the attitude should be when you go into that. It's interesting to point out that the Rebbe Lublin, the Chayz of Lublin, pointed out once regarding what the Rebbe Shmelke of Nikolsburg. Rebbe Shmelke of Nikolsburg was, of course, a brother to the Haflor. The Machne, the Afloh, who was the Rebbe of Chassam Sofer, both were tremendous goyim and both were Talmidim of the Magid. Rebbe Shmelke of Nikolsburg and as well as the Afloh. And the Rebbe Blin said that Rebbe Shmelke many times would mention what his Seder Hayoim is, how he subdivided his day. They had 24 hours, Rebbe Shmelke is telling this, 14 hours is for learning, this was his day, 14 hours for learning, 4 hours for davening the three tefillos, shachris, mincha, ma'ariv. So it's up to 18 already. 4 hours for sleeping. 1 hour he gave l'tzarchei hakehillah. 1 hour he gave l'tzarchei hakehillah. That was 1 more hour left. What was the 1 more hour? A half an hour for eating. A half an hour was supposed to be relaxing. But what did he do in that half hour of relaxing? He learned chovos halavos. So this was his relaxing. That's what he did in the half an hour that's supposed to be. The lashon was liyisponui, to be free of anything else. But what he did was, we're starting the sefer of chovos halavos. Just to mention that, the Shinya Veruf, the son of the Divrachaim, of the son's Veruf, is a sefer called Divrei Yecheskel HaChodosh. The sefer of Yecheskel HaChodosh, he points out that the Shinya Veruf said the name of the Yaptaruf, that his gula of Parnosa is to learn Shar HaBitochin in the Sefer Chovos HaAvodos. So there's Hashem that we are touching upon a little bit of the Shar HaBitochin in the Chovos HaAvodos. So besides everything else, the Midah Bitochin, which is, that alone is a tremendous gain, but to realize that there is something to be said. That there's something to be said about that. And this is the Segula for Panosah. So among other things, this is a Segula of Panosah. I should mention also, Rabbeisai, it's a little bit, the time is moving on. So we'd like to mention that, in fact, there is a fascinating tshuva in the Noidi B'Yudin, the Poisek Hador. Once we went through once, I think on a Slichas night, we discussed somewhat of the tshuva. Here we're just mentioning what the Nekudah. He's talking about a person who was over in Avera Chamura, with a family member. An Avera Chamura Ma'oid. And the person ultimately really wanted to do tshuva. So who better to ask if you're living in the door of the Noidi B'Yudin? You go in the afternoon of Yehuda to write him a Seder Achuva. And the Yehuda there goes through the Seder Achuva and says he's not going to make it too hard of him because he's a weak man. And he poses of him, Gefel Chazachim, making it easy over here. He's making it easy. So without going down to the details, that's not the objective. But among other things that Yehuda writes there, it's in the Achuva and Arachayim, Simel Amad Hei. He writes also, among other things, besides the fact telling him to fast and so on and so forth, he says, Yilmoy Sifrei Musar, Choyvis Alvovis, Min Achar Shar HaYichud Ad Gimira. Interesting. That is after Shara Yichud till the end. That's part of the tshuva that the Navi also gave for this particular person. Just want to mention that in one of the editions of the Chovos HaAvodos, there is Askoma, the later editions from Rabbi Shmuel Vosner, one of the contemporary poskim of today, one of the most choshev in Bnei Brak. So he says he was a Talmud of Rav Meir Shapiro. Rav Ozner's yeshiva is called Yeshivas Chacham Lublin. And that's his It's named after his Rebbe. That's Rav Meir Shapiro. So he writes there that he says, I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Meir Shapiro. Meir Shapiro was an einikel, among others, he was an einikel of the Megala Amukis, whose name was Shapiro also. The last name was Shapiro. But going a little before, in the time of the Baal Shem Tov, there was a famous Shapiro, Pinchas Lekoritzer. Family member's name was Shapiro. So Meir Shapiro said he heard, Rav Ozner said he heard from Meir Shapiro, who said that his grandfather, great-great-grandfather, he says, the Pinchas Lekoritzer, who is zoichet to be such a great tzaddik, he said, he learned Elef Pa'omim, he said, Sefer HaKodesh Chovos HaAvodos, V'rak Oz Zocho L'Mashe Zocho. It was only then that he was zoichet to whatever he was zoichet. Okay, so Rabbi Isai, so we're going to here take a look first at the, again, at the sheet. Just want to take, and and the Imam Sheikh Chovos HaAvodos right after that. It's a very fascinating piece that we have here on the sheet. And this is basically from Rav Dessler. You can take a look. This is a shikla. It is something which is a very vital, vital message according to the insights of Rav Dessler. You have to realize that Rav Dessler, of course, was a Maribus Torah both in England and in Eretz Yisrael. Geitzer, of course, you know, he founded the Koilel there. But in addition to that, the Chazon Ish used to say on Rav Dessler, Rav Dessler is one of those, we know the Gemara talks about, Tzadikim, the Gemara's Loshin is, Roa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Baruch Hu saw that Tzadikim Mu'otim, he saw that Tzadikim are few. So Omad V'shoslon B'chol Doi V'Doi, because Baruch Hu spread it out. He spread them out over every generation. Every generation should have something. The Chazon Ish said that among the Tzadikim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted in every generation these tzadikim mu'otim, he says, goes on Rav Dessler. It's also kedai to mention that the one of the Shmusen, he was, by the way, a 9 o'clock of Sol Salanter. It's very appropriate that he became the great Baal Musa himself, Rav Dessler. He's a grandson of Rousseau Salanter. And he said that Rousseau Salanter, originally, in the beginning of his career, he took it upon himself, he figured that the best way is to be a tzaddik nister. And other people should not know his madregas. I mean, the founder of the Musar movement. But he thought at first that maybe it's best to live a life of tznius hidden, to conceal his godless. And Rav Dessler said, part of the things that Rav Salanter used to do in order to conceal his godless, he used to daven fast. Usually that's a sign that someone's not such a big Yerush Shemayim. Echaptub is daven. Rav Dessler said, he daven quickly, but with kavonah. He had it. It was quick. He daven quickly, he daven with kavonah. And he said, also another thing is, he used to learn balpeh, Reif Shas with Toises. People should think he's a Balabais Poshet. They wouldn't know that he's really learning. So Salanter used to learn, he said, Reif Shas Balpeh with Toises, so said Rav Dessler. People should think that he's a Balabais Poshet. But then he saw the Yeridus Hador, he saw how the generation is falling, and they need people to be Mashpia. So Rav Dessler said to him, he said, listen, what am I going to gain by being a Nister? Maybe I'll gain, he says, Gilu Liyo, you'll deserve it till you're, and all you'll come to see me. Ruach HaKodesh, he says, be Mesakim, to be Mashpia and the Rabbim, is more than Gilu Liyo, he says, is more than any other Madrega, he says. But Kedai, he says, to come out in the open, to do whatever has to be done, in order to be Mekar of people. Just like Gavurche, Rabbi Simcha Zisel of Kelm, who was the Talmud of Rabbi Yisrael, used to say, that Kodesh Baruch Hu Lemaise did listen to the Tefillah of Rabbi Yisrael, Ritzoy Nirei of Yaseh, because although we know the godless of Yisrael, you don't know the honest, he says. He's so much greater than you'll ever know. He's still the tzaddik nister. That bakosha that Rabbi Yisrael always had, to be a tzaddik nister, says, the emphasis that Kodesh Baruch Hu listened to the tzaddik. So as much as we think we know about the godless of Rabbi Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu listened to him. Because we have no hasoge in the godless of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. So, upon himself, the Chazanish said, on Rav Dessler Bechlal, he said that he's considered to be the greatest chocham in Koyches HaNefesh. Rav Dessler said it was the greatest chocham in Koyches HaNefesh. It's just very interesting thing that when his wife passed away, it's very interesting to mention to you, that when his wife passed away, and it was in 1954, and what happened is, so he had a bocher was mishamishim, he was alone, and the table was set Friday night, chalas, and he had the kiddush cup, the kohes was there right in front of him, and the Odessa says to the Talmud, take away this kiddush kohes and bring the other one that's on the shelf. The Talmud just couldn't understand. This was the one he always used. Why is he now being Mishana taking the other kois? And Rav Dessler said to him, so I want you to know that this kois, me and my Rebbe received as a gift, as a wedding present from Rav Chaim Oizer. And Rav Chaim Oizer yarshent it from Rav Sor Salanter, who was the grandfather of Rav Chaim Oizer's first wife. So this is a family thing that we received. However, he said, when I moved to Bnei Brak, which is Asrei, the Mar, where the Mar Dasra is the Chazanish, and we know that Chazanish Yurim are a little bit bigger than the average year, so I figured it was only appropriate, said Rav Dessler, to change the Kiddush cup that I always used, which I received as a wedding present, Chaim Oizer's, and change to the larger shear, which is the Chazanish shear. And my wife, the Rebbesin, was very upset. She said, if it was good for Chaim Oizer, it's good enough for you too. So I saw she was distressed. I listened to her, and I kept the old Kiddush cup. But now that she's nifter and I'm living in Bnei Brak, I switch to the Chazanish Shashir. He says, Mishen Yeposhik, because this is the Mokim of the Chazanish. I feel I should follow according to his Psokim, according to his Halachas. Anyway, that's what the Dain Erdentrol once repeated that. Okay, Rabbi Yitzhak, let's take a look here a little bit. Well, we find it from the Mikhtav Eliyahu on the sheet. First, he talks about, again, that we spoke about last week, actually, about the Chiva Bishtavlis a little bit, depending upon the person's Madregim Bitochen. So he says, number one, he says, this is actually base, because we trimmed it down for our purposes. First, he says, Rav Dessler says here, he says, the Mikhtam Eliyahu Chelikalav, he says, Yispalo Bikavona Ad Asher Yakir Levovoi Kehakala Mehashem Hubo. A person really has to daven Bikavona till he comes to the Hakara that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'im gam lo yatzliach b'hishtadlusoi gzeira shemayim hi. And if he was mishtadl and was not matzliach, it's because the gzeira shemayim was, he should not be matzliach. V'kthia shetzidal ha-hakora ha-zois. So the more he says that a person would recognize that hakul me'ashem bilvovoi, yismayet chashash hatiyah, disappointments will be much less.
The person recognizes. The person blames himself. He thought that it's up to him. So you're disappointed. How come I tried? How come I did? It didn't work. The person recognizes it's not you. It's Hakam B'dei Shemayim. So if things don't work out exactly the way he hoped them to work out, he will not be disappointed. But then he says further. He says, "Yisboyin and Tomin b'yachshu b'machshoy b'machshov is b'tochen Hashem." It is something you have to study continuously. B'tochen is not something that you just acquire by thinking about it for the moment. You have to be misboyin and Tomin. You have to delve into it. V'yilmad b'svarim minyonei habitochen. V'gam b'shas iskoy b'shtadlus hanachutzaloi. And even when he has to do the necessary shtadlus, yachshoy ke'eino yelo mekayim gzeiras b'zeyas apecha. In other words, why am I doing Ishtadlis? Because Baruch wanted me, because it was Exera after the Chet of Adam Rishon B'Zeis HaPecho. Recognize V'chi HaHishtadlis Atzma Loi Toyo Loi Klum. The Ishtadlis itself will not help you. There's Exera HaPecho, you have to do the Ishtadlis. U'B'Zei Yechazik Bulvoviz HaBitokim. Thinking about these things, he says, this will strengthen his Hashkofen Bitokim. And he says, "V'gam yochin esatzmo." He also prepare himself. Shal yishmal adivrei. He says, "Hamaligimot." In other words, he may say to himself, "If I be mishtadel less, people say I'm a batlan." He says, "Don't listen to these who mock you and who laugh at you." He says, "Don't be despoiled." Shal yishmal adivrei hamaligimot of those who laugh at you. Likloy batlan kedoyme. Ki mutav sheikre batlan kol yomav val yir roshe. Kamer chazal mutav sheikre shoyte kol yomav val yir roshe sho achas l'tnei mokin. He says, you have to work at that. But now comes a very, very important thing. I sent it over to Ibsagad, I read it. This is what Rav Dessler is saying. Rav Dessler is saying this. So it comes out that if you're real Baal B'tochen, the matter of fact, in anything about B'tochen, does not need that much Ishtadlis. Because being that the Tzoch is not Betzim and Ishtadlis. The Tzoch comes from the B'tochen. But if you're not such a great Baal B'tochen, you need more Ishtadlis. But if you are a great Baal B'tochen, then you're Mamayit Ishtadlis. So Rav Dessler, but be very careful. This is the psychology of Rav Dessler. Make sure that the reason you're being memayit in ishtadlus, that the reason that you're working less is because you're not lazy, not because you're a big Baal Metochen. People who hate working say, you know what? I'm a big Baal Metochen. They allow themselves to be fooled, to be taken in. I'm a great Baal Metochen, that's why I'm working less. Make sure that you know the real reason. You're a lazy person, he says. And if you're a lazy person, then you have a chiyuv to be ishtadlus, because it's not Metochen. That's what goes on to say. Omnam tartli zoyer. As much as I'm promoting, he says, the hashkofa b'tochen, shle yachlif atzlis b'tochen, look, he says. Not to confuse the lack of ishtavlis because you think you're about b'tochen. It may only be the lack of your ishtavlis, it's not just about b'tochen. This is b'tochen. You don't want to work. Ki yesh moineam l'ishtavl mitnei atzlusoy. V'toylu b'tochen. V'tochel da'as shekol ha'ashim mbatl me'malachtoy mitnei atzlusoy. And he tells you this, if a person really is not a Baal B'tochen and is working less, you're going to have less. If you're a Baal B'tochen and that's why you're being mishtadel less, you're not going to have less. But if the reason that you're mamayit b'malocha is because of atlas, you think you can have less? Look what he says. Shekolma again, shemevatel memalach demitne atluzoi, levada yachsi liyatsumet. Ki rak ha-B'tochen meidu l'siyati d'ishmai. It's only B'tochen that brings the person l'siyati d'ishmai. U'mikoshken, he says. The Pesuk says, as much as you hope, as much as you trust in Hashem, to that extent, Chesed Hashem is upon you. Now, the person should not fool himself, that he's going to use laziness, or maybe laziness is going to help him out. In other words, he's a Baal B'tochen also, but in order to help it along, to push it along, the atlas also works as a combination. V'derech shloy l'shmo. Says the more person says this. Person says, I want to work in my b'tochen. So how am I working my b'tochen? That means he's lazy. So he's going to use atlas, but with the hope that it'll lead him to b'tochen. The fact that he's working less, maybe now it's shloy l'shmo. Now he's working less because he's atlas, he's lazy. But maybe continuing this derech, it'll bring him l'shmo. It'll bring, in other words, the miut of ishtadlus, which is because of atlas, he's going to justify, because first I have to start somewhere. It's very hard to become a Baal B'tochen, so I'm going to be less mishtadl for other reasons, like for laziness. With the cheshbon, that's going to bring me to lishma. So look what he says. Ayito adam loyimash ishtamish ba'atlas v'sayeh le b'tochen b'derech lishma. Ki lo yishayesh lo lishmo bebitochen. You know what he says? Bebitochen is not shlo lishmo. By all the mitzvahs, you can do shlo lishmo. And we say shlo lishmo, metoch shlo lishmo, bo lishmo. There's an inyan of mitzvah shlo lishmo. Bitochen, he says, is a hashkofe, the tamah shel dover, she'ein menias ha-malocha mitzvah. He says, menias ha-malocha, to tell a person shlo lishmo, to stop his tadlus, she'ein menias ha-malocha mitzvah. Preventing one from doing work is not a mitzvah. The bitochen should be lev, she tovi lemaid, but that's the mitzvah. The adrabe, im yemaid b'malocha mitnei ha-tchlusoi, then that's your nature. In spiritual things, you're also going to be memayit, he says. A person who's lazy, you know what his refuah is? To work hard, dafke. Imken rufuoso, he says, which is yageh b'malocha, dafke, to work hard. Then I'm going to speak out just by heart to tell you, the Bemisi points out, he says that it really, that the hishtablus is only secondary. And Bemisi's idea is to work among bitochen, so how can we find that there's an inyan? If someone needs your help, in ishtablis of how someone should build a business, maybe you should tell him and give him a lecture on bitochen. Somebody comes up to you, help me start my business. Give me advice how to run my business better. So maybe, being that the ishtablis really is something really is not really the tachlis, so maybe really you should talk to that person who's coming to you and soliciting your advice. Maybe talk to him about bitochen. So that's a very important insight. Bitochen is for you, not to tell somebody else. On somebody else's problems, he says, there's no bitochen. So it means if somebody rings your doorbell, and he pours his heart out to you, and he says all the problems that he has, don't give him a lecture on bitochen. On your own tzaras, he says, you can be a baal bitochen. But if somebody else's problems, somebody else's tzaras, you got to help them out. That's what Adesla points out. Bitochen is binyone atzmoi, but not binyone acherim. When it comes to inyonim that pertain to other people, help them out with all the ishtavlus that you can do. Help them out, he says. When we are talking about meat ishtavlus, that's on your own problem. By the way, there's a similar word that the Rai Sharuf said, Rav Aaron Levine, who is the Zayda of Nat Lewin, the famous lawyer. Levine, that's the real name, going back to Mishpucha. The Rai Shuruf says in Sefer Adrash Vuhi, and he says, there's something he says very glaringly, which seems to be paradoxical, in the same parasha. In parasha Bishalach, when it comes to the Mitzrim and the Eden are cornered with Yamsuf and so on, Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, don't worry, Hashem Yelochem Lechem, because Baruch Hu will fight for you, Vatim Tachrishim. Just keep quiet. Hashem Yelochem Lechem. Hashem will wage the war. At the end of the same parasha, Bishalach, what does it end with? Melchemes Amalek. In Melchemes Amalek, there's a Beferishit Tzibur. Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu to go and take Yeshua, right? And to go Mochar, and to go wage war with Amalek. Why don't we stay over there? Hashem Yelochem Lechem Vatem Tachrishim. Why in the beginning of the parasha we find Hashem Yelochem Lechem? You don't have to worry about anything. Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it. Yet at the end of the parasha, when it comes to fighting Amalek, you have to go and fight. Why not Hashem Yelochem Lechem? So the Rashi Vayun, Rav Aaron Levine says, he says, if the problem is with yourself, in other words, if a yid is in a tzara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of your problem. In other words, you don't have to fight. Hashem Yelochem Lechem Atem Tachrishim. Amalek was fighting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There you have to fight. Depends where the tzara is focused on. But Geyer yourself, he says, your situation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you with your problems. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be Yochel is in trouble, you have to take care of that. In the middle, when it comes to miut, kvay shemayim, when it comes to chiluk kvay shemayim, there you can't say, Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it. There it behooves that you get up and you do whatever is within your power to say, be able to be misakin there. But Rav Moshe, turn the shit on the side and I want to show you something. And we turn on side number two. And what we have over here is, which Rav Dessler brings, page ahead or so, and he brings the following. He says, Ma'achar, listen to the question. Ma'achar shem zanoitim shalodim ksuvim loy. Being that a person mezainit is fixed min a shemayim, upanesotsoi hu gam kifris yamsu. And we know also that to earn a living can sometimes be very difficult. Imken loma omas hashem yizborach alodim. Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu burden man es oila ishtadlus b'derech eretz? Then what is the purpose really that Kadosh Baruch Hu burdened a person with all of that? So he points out, b'nyimzeh kosev ha-goyin b'psim chazisl. Tzimch Zisl points out, of course, one of the great Balamusar of Keln. Tzimch Zisl was nifter in 1898. Rav Tzimch Zisl. And someone once wrote a letter to Tzimch Zisl, you know, the Mashgiach of all Mashgichim. They wrote him a title, usually you write maybe Harav HaGoyin and so on. They wrote on him, among other things, they wrote him a simple title, Yorei Elokim. Yorei Elokim. He got very upset and he said to him, he says, you're writing on me Yorei Elokim, the title Yoralikim was given to Avraham Avinu after 10 Nisyonos, ki at v'yadati kol Yoralikim ato. Now me, you give him the title Yoralikim. To me, don't write that anymore, he said. Yoralikim, he says, is a tremendous title that Avraham Avinu was zoche after Nisnasavit. I saw Nisyonos, he says. How do you give me such a title of Yoralikim? That, of course, is the world of Simcha Zisl. It's just interesting. We're talking about Bitochen, and he's bringing again with Simcha Zisl on another Nekuda Bitochen. Rav Dessler once mentioned that Rav Simcha Zisl took ill, and usually, of course, you go to a doctor. The Shit of the Ramban, you know, which is a very controversial thing with the Taz in Yerudea. Ramban says if a person is the perfect Baal Bitochen, nobody should take this Talochel Maisa because you're not that Madrege. But if a person is a total Baal Bitochen, he says there's no. Ein tzorech l'roife. You don't need a doctor. Kani Hashem rofecho. So says Ramban. It's Furshe Ramban. Ramban says, Bizman, when Yidin are on the highest level of Bitochen, you don't need a doctor. But if something should happen, he said, with the Bitochen itself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will heal you. Well, Simcha Zisl got ill, and they found him that he put a bandage around his foot. But he refused to go to a doctor. So Simcha Zisl said, the truth is like this. He says, then he says, I have been talking, he says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will heal me. So he said as follows. To go, he says, and do nothing, maybe I'm not the fullest Baal Bitochen, so I cannot rely on not doing anything. So he said like this, I put on a bandage, I think to stomach tablets, but go to a doctor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you. So he put a bandage, on, said, for that, this is my tablets to do in my refuah. So again, this is, of course, this is very unique and very unusual situation, of course, the Madrega Bitochen that we find over here. So we have, and it's just simply the sensitivity. Simcha Zisl, and we mentioned Rabbi Chonon, we mentioned quite a number of Gedolim who would not allow themselves really to laugh, certainly not, because also Lodan Lamalis Choyk Piv Boilam Azeh, that a tremendous seriousness. Bechlal, Simcha Zisl, he says Shabbos, he would say that his face would glow and shine on a Shabbos. You see the tremendous simcha on the face of Simcha Zisl. Particularly Shabbos, you saw him very, very sad. They wanted to know, how is it possible if Simcha Zisl on Shabbos, you're sad, what is bothering you? So Simcha Zisl said, there's a name of a particular maskil. Maskil was called Peretz Samolniskin. Peretz Samolniskin, shouldn't mention his name here by Yashir, but there's a tachlis, it's a tayelis here. He was one of the Gresta maskilim at that time, who is, you say, a Jewish anti-Semite. It was someone who was anti-religious, Chmeim and Akotza Lakotza. You couldn't find someone who was more anti-religious than this person. Chazisel says, I just heard a shmua that Peretz Samolniski, he says, died. I'm just thinking about a person who destroyed his neshama in such a way that din v'cheshvin is gehav to give it to Shemayim. I can't bear the tzar that his neshama is going to go through. I have to be a little sad. Sensitivity even to a person like this particular masker. He says, thinking about what the neshama is going to have to go through because the life that this person led, you can imagine what kind of a din b'cheshvin. He says, that's something that didn't allow him. But the shaykhs of the gatna is our masker, the chalal. But that's the sensitivity. Of course, a great balamusa, as if Simcha Zisl was. So we go further, Rabbi Yisrael. He says, that vinyas der kosov agonim Simcha Zisl, he says, b'ksovo. He says, Shemasa, he says, Haishtadlis, not that Shem's Baruch Alodim Lenisoy. The purpose of Ishtadlis, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave man, this is a test. The Ishtadlis that you have to do is a test. Ki hine somua Shem's Baruch Be'oilom, because we are in a place in a world, Ashash Gochotah is Baruch Behester. Kodesh Baruch Hu's Hashgochah Protis is concealed as hidden. Ulamara Einov, on the surface of one's viewing, man thinks that he's in control of his destiny. Man thinks that he's shoylet on his pronosis. Man thinks he's shoylet on his achievements. Because Baruch Hu hid his presence, his hashgacha in the world. But the avodas adam is that within this hester, within this concealment, and to show with action, ki eimam sholo l'teva klal. The end of our kotnoi godel should not believe zeirosa yizbarak, he points out. So the idea is that if Kosh Baruch Hu put a person into ishtadlis, you know why?
Because the Ishtadlus really imposes a greatness on a person thinking that the parnosa that ultimately that he makes is because of his Ishtadlus. Because Baruch Hu wants you to be able to bring out Tvoi Shemayim within the natural world. So because Baruch Hu put the Ishtadlus really is a trap. Because Baruch Hu was gozer that parnosa should come out through your Ishtadlus, because Baruch Hu wants that in spite of your Ishtadlus, still to see and recognize the Yemes. That is the Nikuda. Go to the next column on the left. The Shoyer is there. Look what he says. Next column on the left. The Shoyer is the Kotu B'Toyer with Breishis. Kishomato. Because Baruch Hu says, why am I making, imposing the Gzeira of B'Zeya Sapecho? Because you listened to your wife. You ate from the Itzadat. Kishomato B'Zeya Sapecho. Toich Alechem. By the sweat of your brow. Points out of Simchas Yisrael. What does it mean? What's the Midah Kineged Midah? He says, V'yedua she'onchak Kodesh Baruch Hu lo'i b'derech nekom achat v'shomah. You have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's onshim are not b'derech nekoma, el b'derech limud l'saken achet. The purpose of an oynish is to be able to be misaken achet, to learn something from the oynish. What was the chet of Adam Rishon? The chet of Adam Rishon hoya, shechopet l'das gam isara. He wanted to know not only the spiritual world, he also wanted to know the other world. He also wanted to know toi v'ra. U'b'zeh hoyt isatmoy memadregis ganet. That's why he was removed. Shibon Nosan Mamoshet, because in Gan Eden is Rakhl Ruchni is Hazakhot, to the pure Ruchni is. Vahoyer is Atzma Loyal Mazeh, or the Mirishan allowed himself to be Yoyreh into the earthly world, Oyal Magashim is. Leroy's Mamoshet, Betevo Begashim is. If you think there's something about Gashim is, so, because Baruch Hu gives him, the Valkain Ra'asach of Mosi is Baruch, Chitikuna, you know what the Tikkun is? The Tikkun is to find Hashem, even the world of Gashim is. Means not that I want you to sweat. Zezapecha means because when you're sweating and you're succeeding, you might think that what? That this is a result of your actions? No. Zezapecha is a nesoyim. That in spite of all the shtav that you're doing, you still should be able to recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the avoida. The avoida is that Zezapecha should not trap you. That the avoida is that b'yoysoy b'toych hester zeh. When he is involved in this hidden world of Kashmir, you'll be able to rise up, to distinguish as bitul dimyanatev. It's only a fantasy, and to recognize the emesis of such gokas. It appears to you that there's something like teva. It appears to you that your shtadlus gave you the parnosa. It's the oilam adimyan, he says. But in order to see that, you have to be able to rise up. That's the nesoyin of the zeisapechot echalechem. To be able to elevate a person, the opportunity to be able to show, even within gashmius, to recognize that Hashgachas Hashem, Hashem's Hanhoge in the world. So now, Rabbi, so we go to the Chodesh Avodis, where this Hagdom is said, and we are Mamshich, we are here in the Chamishis, in the new Chodesh Avodis, I think it's page Reshid Gimel, Tekel Daf Reshid Gimel, in the Nura Chodesh Avodis, if you have it, and it's the fifth line, the Chamishis. It happens to work out the fifth line by Chamishis. The word of Chamishis happens to be there. Rebbe Zalbovitz was working up to say that there are seven tanoim that might justify in order for a person to trust somebody else. Because if you don't have these seven tanoim, then you'll find out that the whole trust really is not safe. It is not something that can guarantee you anything. If you want to trust in something, you want to really believe and feel comfortable that this is something worthy of trust. Rebbe Zalbovitz points out, and now we're up to the Chamishis. What would be the fifth Tanai? What would be the fifth Tanai that someone should be deservant of your trust? The Chamishis, he says, the fifth Tanai is, Sheyia HaMisyachid VeHanHogat HaBoitei HaKolov. He says, the fifth Tanai is, in other words, another reason, this is number five, why you may want to trust someone, because that particular, imagine if you can find a person in whom you trust, that is so involved with you. Imagine you can find a person that is so involved with you. In other words, Sheyir Misyache. You should be exclusive. You should be exclusively under his care. Right? Habitechol, the one that you're trying to trust, Mitchilat Habiyotoy, should be under his care from the very beginning of your existence. Imagine. Vigiduloy. And growing. Viyankusoy. And your childhood. Vinarusoy. And in your youth. Vibachrusoy. And later on, becoming a bokeh, becoming older, your manhood, he says, vizuknosoi, and also all the way up to the end of your days, atachlis in yonoi, till the end of your life. Again, another reason why sort of a little bit of a difficult notion. We'll explain what he's saying. Says another reason why you may want to trust someone, because that person was involved with you from your very beginning. Imagine if a person was involved with you from your very beginning. He involved you. Now imagine further. Imagine that that person was with you and cared for you from the time of conception. That would be the ultimate reason to try to trust someone. And of course that's not shy only by Kodesh Baruch Hu, not by human being. The ultimate reason to try to trust someone who you were under his care from the very, very beginning. Going all the way from the time of your conception. That's what he says, the Loshen. Mitchilas Havayosot. To place your trust in someone that you're under his care from the very moment of your existence means the time of conception. Gidulai say the Mefarshim Achayvus Ovos means that during the pregnancy. That's after conception. That's Gidulai. Because then comes Yom Kusoy when you're nursing, that's after the later. Now you're a baby. Right? Then Arusa in your youth as you're growing up and so on and so forth. Ukishizbarek calls that, and the Chayvus Ovos further. And if in fact you become clear of this, that you found this particular person, right? If the Beteah, the person who wants to trust, if he comes clear, is able to point to someone who basically is capable of qualifying for this Tanai, Yischayev, so that now behooves you, you should be comfortable with that person. You can lean on him. Because this person already, right? Because this person already had done so many favors from the time of conception. He says, Minatoivos means that you can imagine all the toivos that were done, which is more than you. It's not mitzumtzim. Toivos oitfos means from all the extra things. If someone cared for you from the time of your conception, then from the time of the pregnancy, and so on and so forth. These were tremendous toivos. The man is no chashash that you're going to be liking anything. Vatoyaliyois vahamasmidois. And all, he says, the continuous support, the continuous favors. You know, sometimes there are people who can do you favors temporarily. Mizman l'zman. Can you imagine you find someone that's going to be able to continuously, without hetzik, doing favor? That would be the ultimate, of course, to trust in such a person. As he's going to say later, there's no such person, of course. But if someone really could be so ibig he gave him to you, would be so moser to you, and that you were under his care from the very beginning, and the favor that he does to you is continuously hetzik. By the way, if a person is like that, then you can trust him. Because why? Because if you see that this person has a history of being bamshich, toivis b'tzmidiyis, then you can trust him, because you know, it's not going to stop. The trust that you have in him, you know, you can be confident that's going to be continuous. Let me point out that you're never more aware of it, but you say it many, many times. This is exactly what we say in the fourth bracha of Birkas Hamazon. Maybe you didn't concentrate on the Perish Amilus. What do we say? Shebichol yoyim v'yoyim, hu heitiv, hu meitiv, hu yeitiv lonu. You know what these three loshayim are? Ovar, hoive, and osiv. In other words, shebichol yoyim v'yoyim, hu heitiv, heitiv means he did favors, hu meitiv, he's meitiv now, and hu yeitiv, will do. That's the three loshayim, Rabbi Yisrael. Which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's toive was, is, and continuous, is b'li hefzik mamish. That's mamish what he's trying to point out over here. That babuzeh, again, that these toivis are toivis which are hamasmidois, that these are continuous favors. If you can find and point such a person, the yezeh mechayev, he says, cheskas b'tchoy neboy. So certainly then, you can feel quite confident, he says, cheskas b'tchoy neboy. Cheskas means not just tam b'tochum, but cheskas b'tchoy neboy, very powerful b'tochum you would be able to have in that person. That's tie number five. Then he goes further. Vashishis. And then he points out also, what is the shishis? Also the sixth tanai. The sixth tanai would be, she'inyin habiteyach kulay mosu biyodoy. That this person basically has all of your affairs, right, in his hands. La'yucha udon ha'ziko elohi iloy. That there's no one else that can really harm you, can harm him. That person whom you trust, that person has all of his affairs in control, that no one else can really intervene to try to block it. Because many times the person has good intentions, but other people will ruin it. But so the betoken is that that's kulay moser biyodoy, that la yuchal odom lahazikoy lo hayiloy, that no one else can harm that person whom you're trusting. That's a condition to want to trust someone, because that person really has the ability that no one else can harm him, lo hayiloy, nor can help him, because he can do it all by himself. He doesn't need the help of others. The person you want to trust can do it all by himself. Lo lahetim elov. No one else, he says, can do him any good. Nor can shield him from injury. And that person is ulosoi other than himself. That person's full control in every area. Ke'eved ha'osur.
Similar to an Eved who happens to be confined to a prison. Ashur hu be'beis habor b'shus adoino. You can imagine an Eved to his master. Of course, he's totally submissive to his master. The same way, if you want to trust someone, you should be able to trust him in a way that you can feel if you submit yourself to him, knowing that that person is in control fully in every area in the yonim that you want to trust in. He says, if in person that person fills this condition, if that person you want to trust really has the power, like we said, of all these things, so of course it would be more befitting to place trust in this person. But again, he's going to say later, coming at the end, but again, you're not going to have such a person either, he says. These are the qualities, these are the attributes that you'd really look for to be able to feel confident that this person is worthy of trust. And finally, the last one, he says, Bahashvi. Then finally, he says, the seventh one. The seventh one is, Sheyeh mi shebotach cholo b'tachlis hanadivut v'chesed. A very important one, he says. It's very important, he says, that the one that you want to be boiteach in him, that you want to trust in him, that he should be someone who is kuloi b'tachlis hanadivut v'chesed. It means that he is a generous person completely, and he's also kind. What's the difference between nedivus and chesed? So some of the Mefarshim and Kovis Haldovis say that nedivus is really an attitude, kol nediv liboy, that people are generous, needs to have a good heart. Chesed is bepoel. The Chavis Haldovis points out that the person is betachlis, he's completely, well, in his heart is in the right place, he's betachlis hanedivus in generosity, and also va chesed, when it comes to chesed bepoel, chesed b'maisir. Now, but he's not stam about chesed, he's about chesed, lemisha roi uloi. He says, both for someone type who is worthy of it, both for someone who is worthy of it, well, the Misha ain't a royal oy, and even if you're not worthy. What does that mean? It means because if the person whom you want to trust will only do favors for someone who is worthy, then you're always going to worry, maybe you're not worthy. So how can you trust that this person is really going to benefit you? In other words, if you want to trust someone, that this person is going to be the source, this person is going to be the source of benefiting you, but if he only benefits people that's roy, how are you ever going to feel confident? Maybe I'm not roy. Maybe I'm not worthy. And by Kosh Baruch Hu says, Hameitiv l'royim v'latoyim. Kosh Baruch Hu, what does that mean? L'royim v'latoyim. So, he goes further. V'tiyah nedivuso, he says, masmedes v'chaz b'nimshach. And also he says that his nedivus and his chesed generosity should be something that continues always. It should be continuous. Lo yikoris v'lo yiposik should be unfailing and not be interrupted. Now, he says, so if you have all these seven attributes that he points out, and someone who is Zoshe, that he says, if you recognize that in fact you find that someone possesses all these qualities, he says, these seven, but then he says, in addition, also we mentioned in Perik Aleph in the Psiche, we touched upon just a little bit. But then, of course, you have completed fully. Right? Then you meet all the conditions to be worthy of trusting that particular person. He's chayiv hayudezer, and someone who recognizes this in someone, right? You become chayiv l'toyach boy, to know af nafshi alof and to feel comfortable. You feel comfortable in trusting that person who has all of these attributes, both b'giluyoy u'b'nistoroy, in front of people, in private. When you're sometimes people in private, you know, the privacy of their own home, they have all types of machshavas. But this person is worthy of your trust, so you trust them whether openly in front of other people, you're going to say nice things, but also b'nistaroi. B'liboyu be'boreth, in your heart and with your ma'isin, what you're doing. B'limosa elof, and, in matter of fact, to submit to him, b'lirtsoi, because they write so. And if this person is such a nodif, unless he's going to something in you that's not so good, but being this person is a nodif, being this person is a continuous, perpetual chesed, you have to understand that even if he's going to something which you feel is not so good, it must be good, you just don't understand it. That's what Nikudi says. Because then, you accept the gzeres, and you're down the kapschus, he says, in all of the situations and the actions and all the maisim that happen. These are the seven. Now, so the next two lines, Rabbi Yisai, we're just going to do two, three lines. Says the Chavis Havavis. So if you go, again, if you go deeply into these seven conditions that we mentioned, to be worthy of your trust, that someone should possess, to be worthy of trust, I'm telling you, he says, You will not find, maybe you'll find it partially, but it means Bishleim is what he means. So it's a cloud. You will not find, he says, in Bruim, he says, in any creature, any Nibra, that in Tsoyim Kula, but in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll find all of them, Bebeire Yisale. Shumerachim al Briyos, in other words, he comes, he goes now through all 70. He now brings Psukim, so it's not important for us to go through all the Psukim, because, in other words, the first one was that he's a Bal Rachman. Remember, Tanan Amarishin, that he's a person with compassion. He said also he's an Oyev to you, right? He's an Oyev to you, and so on. So it brings Psukim to show where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that these seven conditions that he mentioned, that in fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, we find references to all of these things that mentioned. You will not find it in Nivra. So ultimately, it's not Kedai at all to place your trust in any human being, because they will not meet, by far, they will fail to reach the Madrega of being worthy to put your trust in them. Because they're only human beings like yourself are, and the koiches and the powers are very, very limited. Let me just mention that and conclude just with this. Some people might know there's a Choshev Talmid Chacham, very famous lecturer, the name of Mordechai Nubrichel. He's basically, I believe in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know now, but many years ago, maybe still, basically he hosted, there was a radio call-in show. People asked all kinds of questions. Freya mentioned on religion, so things, and part of the interesting thing was about the spontaneous answers in all areas of Judaism. He had that koyach, he's a Talmud of Yeshivas Chevron, former Talmud of Yeshivas Chevron, and he gives public lectures throughout Eretz Yisrael, yeshivas, seminars, business offices, in America also. He was, at the last time Sir mentioned that I was, he also spoke, had a slot over there. I believe there are more than 700 Hebrew tapes on all areas, Vashkofe, Tanakh in depth, and so on, and so forth. Interesting thing, what happened was, in May 1996, his father-in-law, Remarkha's father-in-law, became ill, so he was taken to Tel HaShomer Hospital in Ramat Gan, and in spite of everything, the condition deteriorated, so family members never left his bedside. So one night, it was his turn, so Rabbi Nubrichel stayed with his father-in-law's bedside. He was prepared to assist him, to give him comfort in any way that's possible, and after midnight, very interesting, he says, the nurses encouraged him to get some rest. And he said, we'll keep vigil. He says, we'll keep the vigil. He says, go get some sleep. And he knew he was a lecturer. He says, you need some rest, he says, because you have a day of lectures tomorrow. So you know, we'll keep vigil at the best side of your father-in-law. The maestro, he respectfully rejected, he said, the advice, and remained throughout the bedside the entire night. And of course, you can imagine, he was quite tired in the morning. And he waited until 7 o'clock in the morning, which another family member came to release him and to relieve him. 7 o'clock in the morning, Taka, he collects his belongings, goes to the local shul to Daven Shacharis, and makes his way, it was a family van, to return back to Yerushalayim. He lives in Sanhedrin, Murchedes. All right. As you, people are familiar, so as he drove up the Tel Aviv-Yerushalayim highway, he feels that his eyelids, he says, are beginning to droop. I mean, the man was up all night. So I figured that the whole ride is about an hour. So he's convinced that he'll be able to stay awake until he arrives home. Meantime, what do you do? He put on some tapes. I don't know if it's his own tapes, somebody else's tapes, but put on some like this. Tell me somebody else's. You don't want to hear your own. So he put them on. And as he drives along, he says, about 40 minutes, he says, even the tapes did not do what they were supposed to do, and he still feels that sleep is overtaking him. And the traffic into Yerushalayim was getting heavy. And you know, when you come up the hill, Yerushalayim, you reach the first place, Yerushalayim, which is the Givat Shol area. That's when you make the turn, you know, you come right into Yerushalayim. So he was just, and it was bumper to bumper traffic. So that compounds the whole situation. In the morning, you know what happens in Yerushalayim when there's traffic. So the bumper to bumper traffic. And he realizes that his head began to sag, his eyes closed for a moment. And he snaps awake and he realizes that the van was coasting too close to the embankment, you know, that big hill that's over there in Shalim on the shoulder of the road. He was just 10 minutes from home. He says, sure, I'll be able to make it. Suddenly the van, he says, was rolling, he says, down the side of the hill. It plunges into a valley. It rips a tree from its roots. It rolls over and over again. And it lands on the side next to a boulder, overturned. He was pinned. He was pinned against the seat. He was wearing a seatbelt, which was jammed. Dozens of people who saw that the van was going off the road, within minutes, they jumped from the cars, everybody went down the hill, down to where the car was. People began using their cell phones to call police, and the ambulances converged, bringing traffic to a complete halt. His eyes were open. and he realizes he was an accident. He doesn't remember how he got to where he was, but he just realized that he was an accident, and he was awake. So he called them that they should pry him loose from the seatbelt. So half of the fellow, when they opened the seatbelt, he was able to walk. He was able to walk in his own unassisted. He was dazed, yes, and was bleeding. He had some minor cuts and bruises. But once outside of the van, he was able to walk mamish unassisted. It was a chiddush pelamoid. People came over to him. Everybody started talking at once. One person takes him aside and says to him, he says, Rav Nugashel, police are going to be here very shortly. Whatever you do, don't tell them you fell asleep. So he says, why? Because, he says, they'll suspend your license, they'll give you a big fine, and the insurance company won't pay your claim. Within minutes, an Israeli policeman was there. He approached him. They told him, this is the driver. He says, what happened? He tells them what happened, and he says, I've been up all night. He says, first of all, he says, I've been driving for 19 years. He says, never, he says, had an accident, never fell asleep. Last night, he says, he was in Tel HaShomer Hospital, at the wheel, taking care of his father-in-law, he says, who was very sick. I was up all night until 7 o'clock in the morning. I had to drive home. He says, I was so exhausted by the time, he says, I got back to Yerushalayim that I must have fallen asleep at the wheel. The officer looked at him and said, listen, he says, if the mitzvah saved your life, it's going to save you from a ticket also. Rabbi says, if you have been talking, you do the right thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi says, sends the yeshuva appropriately all around. This is just an example, Rabbi says. Our establish is very, very minimal, but you have to realize that the Hakobu de Shemayim, and Bez Hashem, we should be able to make inroads in that and be able to come closer to the middle of the talk.